It's a beautiful day out. Listen, I want to welcome, I want to welcome everyone who's joining us live on YouTube, upstairs in our overflow. Welcome to the Tabernacle. We're a little church with a lot of love here in West Philadelphia, where Elder Jonathan Ford is the pastor. Amen, amen. Without any further ado, I'm going to ask if everyone who can, please stand for the word. We're going to open up with scripture. And I'm going to ask one of my very own sunshines, Jackson Ford, to come up and read the scripture. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Can I have everyone turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9? It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change, and that is kept in, and beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire, and as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jackson. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask if there's anyone in the foyer to come on in the sanctuary. And I'm going to ask one of our very own, our sister Leah Reed, amen, to come on us up and bless us. Yes, yes, give her a hand clap. She is a mother, and on Mother's Day, she's still a servant leader. Amen, amen, amen. Happy Mother's Day.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Mother's Day, and so glad to be in the house of the Lord. So we're going to sing together. We are going to sing a hymn. It is well with my soul. Amen. All right. When peace like a river attendeth my way, the second verse. My though Satan should buffet, though trial should come.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. It is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we prepare for the word this morning, I'm going to ask each of you to stand. I'm going to do what I was supposed to do, I guess, prior to the sermonic selection, but it's always a good time just for a quick prayer, just to welcome in not only the souls in this house of God, but also God's presence. Amen. All hearts and minds ready. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, it is well with our souls. Hallelujah. This is the day that you have made. Hallelujah. And we rejoice and we are glad in it. Lord, on this day, we thank you for each and every soul, but particularly we thank you for the mothers amongst us. Lord, we ask that you bless each and every mother who is present and who is on her way. Lord, we ask that you just touch them and lift them up, encourage them, for they truly are the servant leaders amongst us, the servant leaders in our community, and the servant leaders in their homes. God, they are the servant leaders with their children. We ask that you also remind them that while having children is an awesome responsibility, it is a blessing, God. Hallelujah. We bless each and every child. We thank you for each and every child. We are humbled, hallelujah, and we know what an awesome responsibility it is. Lord, we ask that you bless each and every man of God who is present, God. We know that they are the ones that also support the mothers, hallelujah. We ask that you continue to bless the pastor, the shepherd of this house, hallelujah. We ask that you continue to touch him, to lift him up, to gird him up, hallelujah, and to give him in his spirit a word of God that is intended just for this congregation, Lord, hallelujah. We ask, lastly, that you allow each and every one who is on their way to get here safely. We ask that you bless this service, God, and we ask that when it's all said and done, you allow us to return to our homes safely. Lord, we ask these and all things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Without further ado, while you're still standing, let's welcome in the shepherd of this house. And if you can, just reach your hand out. Doesn't matter which one, but the right one is preferable. Reach your right hand out to us. Hallelujah. And say, God bless Pastor Ford. God bless Pastor Ford. God bless Pastor Ford. Real good. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Let me take advantage of your standing. I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. We'll pick up our primary text at verse 18. Again, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. The Lord bless you and keep you. Again, we're in the Old Testament. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. I'm going to pick up our primary text beginning at verse 18. We're going to add to the witness out of the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 1. Amen. 2 Kings 4, verse 18. The witness, Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Amen. So if you're there, you will find this story accounted in your Bible. I'm going to read verse 17 just to give us a little bit of context, especially for those who may not have been here on last Sunday, okay? So starting in verse 17, it says this, "But the woman conceived, bore a son, when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her." Okay? So the Shunammite woman has a son. Verse 18, "And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, 'My head, my head.' So he," his father, "said to the servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon, then died." Okay? "And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She shut the door upon him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to meet the man of God and come back.' So he said, 'Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.' And she said, 'It is well.' Then she saddled a donkey and said to the servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' And so she departed, went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, the Shunammite woman. Please now run to meet her. And I want you to say to her, Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? And is it well with your son?' And she answered again, 'It is well.'" Right? "Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by his feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not revealed it to me.' So she said, 'Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me?' Then he said to Gehazi, 'Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet them. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child.' And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So Elijah arose and followed her." Verse 31. "Now Gehazi went on ahead of them, laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him, and he told Elijah, saying, 'The child has not awakened.' When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. He went up, he lay on the child, and he put his mouth on his mouth. He put his eyes on his eyes. And he put his hands on his hands and stretched himself out on the child. And the flesh of the child became worn. He returned, walked back and forth in the house, and then he went up again and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he called his servant Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. And so he called her. And when she came up into him, he said, pick up your son. Okay. Verse 37, the last verse. And so she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. And just to clarify this, if you don't follow it, when it says she went in and fell at his feet, she fell at the feet of the man of God. Not, she didn't go to the bed where her son was. Son's in the bed before she goes to pick up her son, who in the morning when she left was dead, is now sitting upright. Before she goes to pick up her son, she stops and bows at the feet of the man of God, right? That's the sermon right there. If you got that, you down the road, right? So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Amen? That's a good word. Let's go to Hebrews 11:1. You know this. This is the Hall of Fame of Faith, but let's just review it in our hearing in context of what we have just read. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Drop down to verse 6. You know this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, right, get this, must believe that God exists, right? And not only does he exist, you got to believe this, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? You got to believe that God exists. You got to know God's real, right? You got to believe that. And then in addition to that, you have to believe that God will reward, pay, compensate those who put their faith in him, right? That's what he's saying. A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Drop down to verse 11 and we'll call it quits. Verse 11 says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, right? It happened for her because she judged God faithful as what? A rewarder, right? God promised her. She didn't ask for it. God promised, right? So she said, okay, if God has promised me this, then I'm just going to believe it, right? And God is going to be a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? Hey, before you're seated, we started the month out last Sunday talking about a mother's, right? A mother's hospitality. Right? That's what we talked about last Sunday. And that's what this preceding story was about. A mother's hospitality. This Sunday, I want to talk about a mother's faith. Okay? Last week, we saw the hospitality of the Shunammite woman, bless her, right? That's what we read in verse 17. She bore a son, just like the man of God said, right? This Sunday, we're going to look at her faith and see how her faith also blesses her. Amen? Okay. You guys help me. We can get it done. 15 and 20 minutes. If you don't, we'll be on the other side, right? So if you're trying to get the brunch or the lunch,
Throw a couple amens there. I'll get you there in prime fashion, right?
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, this glorious day. It is the day that the Lord has made. We've set our hearts to rejoice and be glad in it. We count it a privilege to be able to come and gather ourselves in the house of God, to gather around the Word of God, and to be among the people of God. Holy Spirit, we invite you in to do what only you can do, is to take these words, which have been etched on paper, and apply them spiritually to our hearts, that something in and about and through the Word of God would change us, quicken us, and cause us to become better and more like Christ Jesus, your Son. We strive to be in His image, His likeness, until we see Him again. Bless all the mothers here. Bless all the mothers everywhere. Give them the grace, the strength, and compassion they need for the assignment that you have given them. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated in the house of God. She has a son. Verse 18, the child is growing healthy, is growing up strong. Verse 18 says, then it happened that on this particular day he went out to join his father at work, in work, along with the other reapers who was there. And on this particular day, his son says to his father, my head, right? So apparently he's having some type of headache or something's going on where he's now crying out to his father because he is in pain. And his father says to his servant, carry him to his mother, right? Right? Carry him to his mother. The first thing I want to point out is that this guy was a good father. You know how I know? He does what every good father does. He sends the kids to their mother. All right? That look, I know this guy. He said, take him to his mother. The reality is he realized it was something beyond his capacity. He didn't really know what or how to care for his son at that particular moment. And so he instructed his servants. He said, take him home to his mother. The truth of the matter is the child was probably suffering a sunstroke. The cries of the boy and the part of the body affected his head. And the season of the time of year, the season that they were reaping, so it meant it was what? Harvest time, which meant in the Middle East, it was what? Summer time. Right? So you just follow that. He's a young fella. He's probably out early with his dad because it's summertime, right? If you're going to get anything done, you got to get it done when? Got to get it done early. Why? The sun coming up. Too hot. He's out early. The sun's up beating out. And now he starts complaining about his head. So I don't think without doing any harm to the text, we could safely assume he was probably suffering a sunstroke. Okay? So now we pick it up. Verse 20, he says, and when he had taken him, the servant now takes him, brings him to his mother. The Bible tells us that the mother took her son and sat him on her knees until noon, and then he died. Right? So his mother tried to nurse him, tried to get him feeling comfortable, that sat him on her knees. That stuck out in my mind, because I remember as a young boy growing up, countless times, my mother would sit me on her knees, and the way she did it, and the way my grandmother did it, they sit you on your knees and they bounce you, and this is what my mother would say. She would say, tickle up, tigger-leaker, tigger-lump. Well, I don't know what she was saying, but that's what that, tigger-baby, tigger-lump. And then she just, she rub your back and just say that soft rhythm and rub your head and magically whatever was hurting you, stop hurting you. The tigger-lump did it, right? Right? And so I related to that when I saw this in the text, but in spite of all her good intent and her hope for her son, this young fella didn't get any better. Actually, he got worse. To the point of death. Right? And so there it is. So now I'm at 21. And the Bible says she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door. Right? She takes him to the bedroom of the man of God, lays him on the bed, leaves, shut the door. This struck me as odd. Struck me as odd because, number one, she didn't dial 911. And if she did, the Bible doesn't record it. Meaning she sought no medical help for her son, even though he was dead. Right? But she didn't call 911, no calls to the hospital. So that struck me as odd, right? But then I began to realize this is the first sign or evidence of this mother's faith. Because she doesn't call 911, doesn't seek medical assistance, doesn't call the undertaker. And this struck me as odd too. Not only did she not make a call, it struck me as odd where she took him. Because I know in my house, when the boys get sick, it is a free pass to mom and dad's room. They say, go get in my bed. Or if they want to go with your mother in the bed, oh, now they're all laying in the bed. Right? Free pass, right? And also, watching my own wife, in the mother's room is often access to treatments. You know what I mean? Your mom always, I got enough mothers here, come on. You know, you always keep something in your cabinet. You got the aspirin. You got a heating pad. You got oil. Mothers keep that stuff in their room just for these moments, just like this. Someone comes in, I'm not feeling well, I'm sick, I got a tummy ache, my head hurts, whatever it is. And they just say, as always, go get in my bed, lay down, and then my bathroom's right here. Let me go in my bath, and now let me get something for this situation, right? I see a lot of heads going up and down. So I thought it strange that the son would die, and she takes him not to her room. Bigger room. Better room, access to her treatments, but she doesn't take them there. Then I thought, this is even now stranger, because not only does she not take him to her room, she bypasses his room. Well, if he is what he is, seems like, well, that would be, let me just put him in his room, around his stuff. His toy. Not that he's dead. Not that he can play with him. But if it doesn't make him feel better, it would at least make the mother feel better. This is his room. This is where he grew up. This is where he lived. So the woman doesn't call 911, no medical help, doesn't take him to her room where she's best able to care for him, even though he's dead, nor does she take him to his own room, right? Now, if you remember the sermon for last Sunday, for the man of God, out of her hospitality, the husband and wife have added an addition to their home, right? They added, how many folks, we get up in age, you got to add something to your home for your parents, your mother-in-law, father-in-law, parents, son, you know, hey, well, boom, let's add something to the house, right? So mom and dad can stay with us. Mom can stay, right? So they added an addition, not for their parents, but for the man of God. Why? Out of her hospitality. She takes the boy and lays him on the bed in the room of the man of God. All right?
Again, another sign of this mother's faith, right? Right? And it's an indication that she refused to accept death and defeat for the son God had given her. Are you with me? Do you see what I'm saying? She told the man of God, I'm fine. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. She said it like this. She said, what? I dwell among my own people. I'm good right where I, don't need to meet the king. I don't need to meet the commander. She said, man, I'm fine. I just want to be nice to you. Right? And the man of God said this time next year. She didn't ask for that, but that's what he gave her. And according to his word, it came to pass. Now she has a son, right? That the man of God has promised. Now the son has died, and this mother refuses to accept his death because this is what God has given me. Am I getting anywhere? All right. If I'm getting there, tell me I'm getting there. Here it is, 22:23. So now she takes the child up to the man of God, lays him on the bed, and then she shuts the door. I don't want nobody going in there, right? Then now she says, verse 22, it says, now she calls out to her husband, right? Verse 22. Send me a young man and a donkey that I may run to the man of God and come back, right? Husband, the son is getting sick. He's complaining his head's hurt. Sends him to his, say, hey, take him home to his mother. Take him back to the house. So he goes there. He continues working. Now his wife comes out, yells out, hey, send me one of the young guys and send me a donkey. A donkey represents transportation in biblical times. Says, send me a guy with the car, the keys to the car. I got to run out. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to jump in the car and I'm going to go to church. That's what she said. I'm going to go see the man of God at Mount Carmel. That's what she said. I'm going to church. For 23, look what her husband says. I told you this guy was a good father and husband. Look what he says. I'm going to read it in the King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the King Jonathan Version. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. The Sabbath for Jewish people is their Sunday, their day of worship. And she said, it is well. Right? All right. Now the new King Jonathan Version. Here it is. Right? And so he said, why are you going to church today? Right? That's basically what he's saying. Right? Y'all were looking for something more dramatic. I set y'all up. Y'all, that's the first time y'all looked up. Rest of y'all, soon as I, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? All the husband said is, why are you going to church today? It's not Sunday. It's not a Sunday. You don't go, nobody go to church. It's not a Sunday. He said, not only is it not, nor is it a special, it's not Mother's Day. Right? Right? I don't know about you. All of us all up and down the strip had trouble parking. Why? Because it's what? Mother's Day. More people at church, right? He said, what's going on? It's not Sunday. It's not Mother's Day. Why are you going to church today? And this is a second sign of the mother's faith, right? In spite of it being odd, unusual, not likely, she still gave the same report and said what? It is well. Right? I don't know how you say it is well when your son is in the house dead. But somehow she mustered the faith to tell her, maybe you tell the servant it's well. Maybe you tell your neighbor who see, hey, everything's fine as well. Hey, go back in your house. I don't like you anyway. But she don't know it is well. And she tells that to her husband. Well, 24, she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward and do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. Drive and go forward and do not slacken the pace for me. I don't know. We got mothers here, but we've got enough people here too to understand that as you go forward in life, at some point when you hit tough time, tough places, tough situations, sometimes the only thing left to do is drive and go forward. That's all you can do, right? Because if you don't drive and go forward, it means one, either you're stuck and you can't go forward, something's holding you back, or if you're not stuck and just being in a standstill place, what's even worse is now you're what? You're falling back. Falling back in the old stuff, old place. You done covered that ground. You up here now. But because you lost your gumph, because you lost the spark, because something in life has hit you and knocked the wind out of you, right? You have become immobilized and are unable. You can't go forward. You're stuck. And now even worse, now you're starting to drift back. But look at the resolve of the Shunammite woman. She told this young guy, drive and go forward. And don't slack. She said, don't slow down for me. Well, none of us have probably written on donkeys. If you have, great. But some of us have written on horses. And if you've written on a horse, you understand that the faster he goes, the bumpier, as long as he's just plodding along, you can manage it. You sit up there. You hold the rein. You look like a real cowgirl. But if that joker starts, you know what I'm getting down? And don't let him open up his gate, right? You see what I'm saying? That's a bumpy ride, right? She said, don't pay any regards to my gender. Don't pay any regards to my status as the wife of your man. She said, uh-uh. She said, drive and go. And she said, don't slow down or wait for me. Philippians 3:14 says this. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling, right? The prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ. That's how you got to run the race of salvation. You got to press for it. If you're going to make it to the end, you got to learn that in spite of tough times, tough situations, you got to have the resolve to drive and go forward. I used to say a quarter, but inflation, so I wish I had a dollar for every person I knew, watch this, who used to go to church pre-pandemic. I wish I just had a dollar for everybody that they used to go to church. They used to be faithful at Friday night, but they used to do it. But a pandemic hit, right? And now all of a sudden, instead of going forward, they're in a stalemate. Some of them regrettably have even what? Regressed. Now, not only do they not go to church, now they're going to some places. Now I know that's none of you. Or maybe it's some of, I don't know, whatever. Right here it is. But look at somebody, just tell them drive and go forward. That's the only way you're going to make it in life is you got to learn, in spite of the difficult times, you got to drive and go forward. 25, here it is, 25, 26. So she departs, heading towards the man of God at Mount Carmel. 25 said, as she was coming, Elisha saw her afar off, saw her coming. So he tells his guy, Gehazi, go out and greet the Shunammite woman. He wants her to go out and greet her because what? She has been kind to them. Right? This woman has blessed us. If she keeps that, I don't even care if she's not even come to see me. You go out and see her and give her regards. Right? He said, when you go, ask her, is it well, you? He said, well, your husband? How's the baby coming? How's the boy growing? Right? So he goes out, run, meet her, ask her, is it well? The Bible says, here it is again, a sign of her faith. It is well. Son dead. Son back at home. Lied to my husband. Doesn't know what's going on. But yet her report to the man of God is a report of faith. And she says what? And she answered, what'd she say? It is well. Look at somebody and tell them, it is well. If it's ever going to be well or get well, it has to start by you saying, it is well by faith. I took 3 days to come up with that one sentence. You guys got to do better than that. Thank you, Jermaine. If it is ever going to be well, or if it is ever going to get well, it has to start with you saying, it is well. And the only way to tell that it's well is that you say it by faith. I wish I had a real church. I'm so far down the road in this sermon, it's a shame. She told her husband, it is well. She told Gehazi, it is well. She reported to the man of God that it is well. And she did it by faith. So it's a sign to you and a sign to me. It doesn't have to be well. All we need is the promise of God. Because if God says it's well, then it shall be well with my soul. Look at somebody and tell them, it is well. Help me preach. Tell them, it is well. Yes, it's well. It's well. Romans 4:17 says this, that even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. All right, let me use my good preaching voice. That voice didn't do it. Romans 4:17. Look what it says. Even God, who quickens the dead, those things with no life, and he calls those things that are not, do not exist, does not, has not yet come to pass, but God, by faith, calls those things that are not as though they are. It's the same faith that he used in the creation of our world. By faith, he said, let there be light. By faith, he said, let there be seas. By faith, he said, let the dry land come. God help me. It is well. By faith, that's how you tell it. That's how you drive and move forward. You do it by... Now, no longer at a distance. She's at Mount Carmel. She comes to the presence of the man of God. The Bible said she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came, pushed her away. Right? Can't do that. That's the prophet. That's the man of God.
honor and respect is due. If you need something, let me know. I'll ask. But don't you come, right, and grab hold of his garment. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and not told me. He said, I can sense something is wrong, but I don't know what. That's what he's saying. I sense something. I can't put my finger on it, though. Right? 28. So the Shulamite woman said, when you came to my house, you guys asked me what I wanted. That's what you did. You sent Gehazi and said, inquire of the Shulamite woman. What can I do? She said, I don't want nothing. Right? She said, I dwell among my own. She was humble, right? She was hospitable. She said, I'm good right where God has me. Right? Could be better, but I don't want it. Could be worse, but thank God it's not. Right? So she said, did I ask a son? I said, I never asked you. You asked me what I wanted? I said nothing. And did I not say to you, do not deceive or lie to me. One of the worst things you can ever do to a person, man or woman, is get their hopes up. Deceitfully. Knowing you're not going to do it, but yet and still you tell them, I'll be back tomorrow. Knowing good and well you're not coming back. Well, I'm going to get you this. This is what I was always taught. It's better to not say anything. And let your actions be a surprise or a blessing to them. Right? It's Mother's Day. Parent. Worst thing parents can do is what? Promise your kids stuff you can't do. It is better for you and consequently better for the child if you tell them the truth. It's not... You guys got it. You're down the road. I don't need to tell you this, but for the internet audience, it not only is it better for you to tell them the truth. This is what my experience has taught me. Tell them why. Tell them why. Tell them why they can't have two pair of sneaks. Tell them the truth. Tell them I don't have the resources to do that. And teach your children to be content with where they are. Because if you don't tell them the truth, you create a gimme spirit in them. And kids grow up they grow up with the expectation that the world owes them something. I'm your pastor this Sunday, so I'm going to just tell you the truth. The world does not owe you anything. And if you live long enough, you'll find out that the world is not going to give you anything. And woe be unto us if we allow our kids and grandkids grow up expecting somebody to give them everything they want. If I stop preaching now, I done preached enough. You can take that and say, tomorrow morning when you at work, just the pastor preached yesterday. That's all you got to do. My pastor, I don't know what your pastor did. My pastor preached yesterday. Right? Not only tell them that you can't have it, but here's why. Right? So that they understand that anything they receive is a what? A gift. Whether it's from your parents or not, it's a gift. Mom works hard. Dad works hard so that you can have this. Learn to be appreciative. All right, enough of that. I'm finished with it. Either you got it or you don't. Here it is.
She said, I asked you one thing. The only thing I asked you. So I said, whatever you do, don't lie to me. That's all I want from the man of God. If it's going to be this way, then say it. But if it's not, just tell me that. If I can't have a son, just say I can't have it. Right? But now, she said, I feel, tell me if I got any witnesses here. She said, I feel like God has lied to me. That's what she's saying. I feel like God intentionally lied to me. It would have been better if we would have left well enough alone. You got what you want. I got what I want. Good enough. Even Stephen. But you went further and promised me something I never asked for. The only thing I asked, said, man of God, don't lie to me. And here I am, the stage of my life, and I feel like God has lied. Raise your hand. Anybody? And if you haven't, that's okay. If you haven't, that's okay. Keep walking with them. You walk with them long enough, you're going to come to those points in your salvation, your journey with God, where you're going to, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said this. Father, why have thou forsaken? I didn't say the man of God said, Jesus said, his son said, why have you, you promised me before the world began. But here, I feel abandoned. Here, I feel left alone. All that you promised I would be, being crucified on the cross. And it feels like God has lied to me. Now, if Jesus can feel that way, you hear what I'm saying? But how many know the story's not over? 29. So he says to Gehazi, get yourself ready. He said, take my staff in your hand, get on your way. He said, if anyone says hello, he says, don't say hello back. If anyone wants to greet you or celebrate you, he said, keep on riding. You hear, this is 29. And he said, when you get there, he said, take my staff, lay it on the face of the child. Elijah sent Gehazi ahead because he was younger and faster. He could get there before the prophet could. And he said he expected the Lord to restore the child's life when his staff was placed on him. That's what the man of God thought. Well, if I can't get there, if I send Gehazi, look at this, and just send my anointing. That's what his staff represented, the prophet's life. It was his anointing, right? If my staff can get there. Right. Even if I can't, my anointing can get there. Right. I'll just flash. Don't forget to bring your oil next Sunday. The Lord, I'm not saying nothing else. If you don't bring it, it's on you. I done told you. Send my staff. Put my, if that gets there, God will do it. God will honor his anointing in my life and on the staff. Right. And so now, Gehazi's off. He's got the man of God's staff, and he's heading back to Shunem to visit the dead boy. Now, verse 30. Now, this is the Bible. We learned last Sunday she was a notable woman. And I explained then in that context that she was notable because of who her husband was. Right? Biblical times, that's how women esteem status through who their husband was. Right? But now with this new story, here it is. She's a notable woman this Sunday because of her faith. right? No longer dependent on her husband. Now this Sunday, she's a notable woman because of her faith. Look what she says. It was already strange she didn't call the hospital. Already strange she didn't put him in her bed, nor his own bed, right? So we talked about that. Now it gets stranger. Remember that old, what's the old R&B song? They used to sing, "She's strange and I like her," right? Raise your hand if you remember that old song, right? Now look. All of y'all are liars. Not only do you know the song, you used to boogie to that song. Because that's what they played in the club back then. Some of y'all, my age, y'all know that. Who sang that song? So you know Ty knows. And I know you know. But because it's Mother's Day, ooh, Pastor, I don't know what the pastor's talking about. Great is thy faithfulness. It is well with my soul. Tammy Show said she's strange and I like it. On Mother's Day, the pastor said of the Shunammite woman, she's strange, but I like it. Why? It's a sign of her faith. As another sign of her faith, Gehazi takes off. But the Shunammite woman said, nope. I'm not going anywhere except with you. Right? His staff is already gone. His anointing is already out. But the Shunammite woman said, nope, Gehazi can go. But she said, for me and you, I'm not going unless you go. This is what I put in my notes. There are some things in life that only God can fix. Anybody hear what I'm saying? There are some things in life your husband can help you with. There are some things in life your girlfriends can help you out. There's a couple things that if you put together your finances right, the bank will help you out. There's some things they'll help you out with. But there are some things in life, and I wish I had a real church. There are just some things in life that only God can fix. Right? That when you go down and pray for it, you don't ask for help or deliverance. You go down and say, God, if you don't fix this, if you don't do this, it won't get done. This is beyond the doctors. This is beyond the lawyers, the accountants. This is beyond my family. God, I need you to do it. If you know what I'm talking about, give God a hand clap of praise. Let God know. Let God know, God, there's some stuff in my life that I need you to fix. Yeah, I don't need a plumber. I don't need an electrician. I need God to fix it. Here it is. So Elisha realizes that if I don't go, she won't go either. So now Elijah gets ready. Here it is. Let me wrap this up. Here it is, 31. Now Gehazi went ahead and put the staff on the child. He said there was neither voice nor hand. He put the anointing of God on the child and nothing happened. He was as dead or more dead than he was before he got there. And that's with the staff, the anointing of the man of God. Here's a question for my church. Here's a question. What do you do when the anointing won't work? What do you do when what you know to do stops working? If you go back and read a couple chapters about this staff, it was this same staff that his predecessor use to depart the Jordan. He dropped that sand. The Bible said the Jordan stood up. Elijah and Elisha walked across on dry ground because of the anointing. Right? That when Elijah was taken up And Elijah received his cloak, his mantle. He used that same mantle, went back to the same, and I love it. You got to read it. I think it's chapter 3. He went back to the same Jordan. Look what he said. He said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And he threw that mantle down. And that water did what? Did the same thing. God was letting him know, you got the same anointing. Because that's all he asked for. He said, "Give me a double portion. That's all I want from the man. Just give me double what the man of God had." And God proved that he had that level of anointing because what? He did the same thing. So now he sends that same anointing, but this time it doesn't work. So Gehazi goes back out, meet them on the way, and he gives the report. There's nothing going on. The child has not awakened. So here we are now, 32. Oh, my God, I'm supposed to be finished. Look, take your phone out. Text the restaurant. Let them know you're 15 minutes late. Just let them know. You're going to be there 11:30. Just say 11:45. I'll get you there. I'll get you there. So now Elijah, the Bible said 32, he came in the house. And there, the boy is dead on his bed. 33, Bible says he went in and shut the door on him and the boy. He said, there's only three people in this room. The boy, me, and God. If you pray long enough, you'll realize that there are some mornings when you gotta pray and shut the door. So that there's nobody left in the room except you and God. Can't play with the kids getting dressed. Can't play and you got breakfast. Oh, No. For what I'm dealing with, I need God to do this. I need to get in my prayer closet and shut the door. I don't know who that is for, but that's for somebody. You're trying to communicate with God with too many distractions going on. And you're curious as to why your prayers are not being answered. Look at somebody and say, "I love my pastor." This is why. It was my pastor who told me, shut the door. I came out on Mother's Day and my best, that's what I needed. Somebody to tell. I got too much going on. That's why you can't get a prayer through. Shut the door. Here it is. He went in, shut the door, and he prayed to the Lord. Here it is, 34, and I'm done with it. So he went up, laid on the child, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, face to face. He's laying on him. And he stretched himself out on the child. And the Bible said, the flesh of the child became warm. Look at somebody and tell them it's getting warmer. Yeah. Now, when you go to the club, at the club, now, Rat, I know you don't know anymore. In the club, they say it's getting hot in here. And in the club, it usually is. But when, help me. Come on, Josh, help me preach. But when you go in your prayer closet and learn to shut the door, and if you stay there long enough, the Holy Spirit will tell you, it's getting warmer in here. Oh, my God, the boy was there. Now, you know with dead folks, when folks are dead, because there is no blood flowing in the body goes cold. Body goes cold. And I don't mean tomorrow. Today. Yep. Oh, yeah, he's dead. Body's cold. Temperature. There's no life in him. We're supposed to be at, what, 96.7, right? Now we all. All right. That's the gospel station, 96.7. The pastor listened to gospel. I don't know what y'all listen to. That's what I listen to. The Bible says the man of God lays on the boy, and then he notices that the body is getting warmer. Now I'm finished. I got 5 minutes. Help me preach. Just tell somebody, it's getting warmer. That's a sign to you that God is in the room. That's all I need him to do. I knew Elisha was there because I saw him go up. I knew my son was there because I put him there. All I need now is a sign from God that God is in the room. Look at somebody say, God's in the room. Yeah, I know he's in the room because the body is getting warm. My problem is getting better. I'm not healed all the way, but I'm getting better. I'm not out of debt all the way, but I'm getting, oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Look at somebody and say, it's getting better. The situation is getting better. I'm getting better. My husband is getting better. My son is getting better. Still got some issues. Still got some problems. But it's getting better. Woo! It's getting better. Good. Better. Bad. Never let it. Woo! Yes, it's getting better. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting better. I don't have it yet, but I'm getting. Oh, God, help me. Woo! And this is what I like about the man of God. This is where I see so many believers miss out. When things get better, they start dancing. Oh my God, getting better. The Lord's bringing me out. My hip is better. I couldn't shout last Sunday. This Sunday, I'm doing better. And they stop short of what they could have gotten from God. All because they got overexcited about better. The Sunday school slogan says, good, better, best. Never let it rest. Drive and go forward until your better becomes your best. I don't know where you are in my church this Sunday, but could it be that you started dancing too soon? You started shouting over better. And you never held out long enough to receive God's best for you. I don't know about you, but better is for other folks. When it comes to my God, I want, I need, I must have the very best of what God has for me. Look at somebody say, I want his best. That's what I want. I want his best. 35 says, so he went back downstairs. The Bible said he walked back and forth in the house. How many know
There is a point of intercessory prayer where you actually get off your knees. You stay in prayer long enough, you get off your knees. One, you get off your knees because they hurt. The second reason you get off your knees, because sometimes, and this is another hip-hop classic, I only got two or three members in my real church. And if you notice, Khalil been popping a couple Sundays in a row. They say you got to walk it out. As your pastor, when you go into real intercessory prayer, I'm not fooling around no more. You get up off the ground and you just start walking the floor. You just start speaking into that's what real, that's when the Holy Ghost kicks in. That's when you stop praying and God starts praying. Because only the Spirit knows the mind of God. Only the Spirit knows what the mind of God wants to hear. That's when your Holy Ghost kicks in. You start walking left. Look at the man of God just walking the floor. He said it's better. He's warmer. I'm on the right track. But he said, I still need. He's walking the floor. After he walks the floor, look what it says. Then it says he returned. He went back. Stretched himself out again. It says, then the child sneezed 7 times. If I had time, I'd work that. But the number 7 in biblical context, the number 7 signifies perfection, completion, and wholeness, often representing God's actions and attributes. 7. The boy sleep. The man of God got up. Now he's warm. Dr. Deanna, now he's showing signs of life. I was at a hospital yesterday. And we were there, at least I was, Sister Mary Lynn Long, 3-4 hours. And all we wanted was one thing. What did she want to do? She just wanted to do what? She wanted to belch. 4 hours. Drink this. Eat that. Sit up straight. So your doctor, and all she wanted, she said, all I want to do is go, oh. That's what she said. She said, I want to belch. I want to get this, something stuck inside, and I want to get it out. She said, and when she got it, she felt so much better. More than the medicine, more than the IVs, when the body belched and got that gas up out of her. She felt better then, more than what all the doctors were trying to feed through to the tubes. The Bible said it. The child sneezed. Man of God got up. Sneezed again. Man of God stood up. Sneezed again. Then he sneezed a 4th time. Then a 5th time. 6th time. Then when the child sneezed the 7th time, that's when the man of God knew that God's job was finished. He didn't stop at better. The Bible said he went downstairs and started walking that floor. God, I need you to finish this. We used to sing a song in the old church that 99 and a half won't do. Now the reality is for most people, 99, 80 would do. But when you're dealing with God, say, God, I need you to finish this. Bring it full circle. And when the child sneezed a 7th time, that's when the man of God knew that God was finished. Said, the job's done. He felt a release in his spirit. Yep. He was better. But we kept praying until his better became God's best. And when he sneezed the seventh time, that's when the man of God knew that God's job was done. God wants you to sneeze a seventh time. So many of you are better. You're better. But you haven't laid hold to his best. This is what they say of God's best. Of God's best, they said, eyes. So that needs to tell you, God's best, listen to me, because you fall into this trap. God's best for you is not the same best that he gave her. Because if it is, then God is alive. Because your word said, I haven't seen it. Nobody in my circle of friends have ever been healed of something like this. I told you this was a job for God. I need God to do it. And God is telling you, I want to give you my best. But to have it, it requires your faith. That's what it means. God said, I want you to sneeze seven times. That's how you're going to know. That's God's number. That's how you're going to know that I'm finished. You may have stuff to do, but the God stuff is done. That's how you're going to know when you sneeze the seventh time. So many of you have sneezed once or twice and you quit. Some of you have sneezed three times, four times, but you quit because there was a big gap between the fifth time. And you settled for less than what God was prepared to give you. All because you lack the faith to believe God to do it. I could preach out that last verse. I'm not going to bother with it. Holy Spirit's got me right where he wants us. If I were to preach out that last verse, this is all you got to get out of the last verse. Praise God first. The Bible said, he took Gaza and said, tell her to come up. I told you when we read it. Here's the boy sitting up on the bed. But before she goes, she makes a stop at the feet of the man. What? To give praise. He wouldn't be alive if God didn't do it. And I could preach that up and then preach it back down and we all go out dancing. We can dance another Sunday. I think what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, which I agree with him, is more important. The Bible says all have sinned and come. Do you understand what that means? Come short of his glory. Meaning he had more glory for you. But you fell short. And I know that the greater theological meaning of that is for salvation, yes. But it also applies to your blessing. You fell short. You sneezed the first time. That's how he got your attention. You started reading your Bible, you sneezed again. Then you committed to daily prayer. Now you sneezed the third time. Now you went to church and you heard about the Shunammite woman and her hospitality, and now you adopt a spirit of hospitality, and what? You sneeze again. But this next sneeze is going to require, we read it, 11:6, Hebrews 11:6 says what? Without faith is what? It's impossible. You'll never get God's best without faith. You'll never get it. You may get better, but you won't get God's best. And I believe God wants me to preach this message on Mother's Day because he wants to tell somebody in this room, this internet webcast, that he has more for you. And the choice is yours. You can settle for better. If you want that, you can have it. God said you can have that. His body's already warm. You can take over from here if you want. Or you can believe God for things impossible. Or you could believe God for things you've never seen done in any other life. Choice is yours. All you have to, all that is required is a mother's faith. Just believe God. Throughout this whole ordeal, she never stopped believing God. Saddle me a donkey. Send me a driver. Going to see the man of God. I know it's not Sunday. I know it's not Easter. It's not Mother's Day. But I'm going to see God. Because I believe God has something better for me. That's what his word promised me. That's what his word said to me. I read it. So now my faith has leaped up and laid hold to the promises of God. And I refuse to let go until God blesses me with his very best. We used to sing a song in the old church, what God has for me. But just because it's for you doesn't mean you'll get it. I got stuff laid up for my sons they don't even know about. And the way most of them are living, they'll never get it. I'm going to die with it in my pocket. No, I'm joking. They'll get it. They'll get it. But it's laid up for what? An appointed time. They got to show me what? They can handle it. It's weighty stuff. God wants to see, can you handle this level of faith? And if you come up, if your faith comes up, and that's what good preaching does. Good preaching stirs your faith. It makes it leap up after God. When your faith goes up, that's when God moves. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here right now, I'm telling you, God wants to give you his best. Not his second best, third best. No. For you, very best. Eyes haven't seen. Ears haven't. Neither had, he said, folks haven't even imagined what I want to do for you. But do you have the faith to believe God for it? Doesn't matter your situation. Doesn't matter your circumstance. All you got to do is believe God for it. If you're here this Sunday and you want the best that God has for you, you're not too old. You're not too young. Not too black. You're not too white. If you want what it, as a sign of your faith, I want you to come forward, and I just want to pray for you quick. I'm going to pray for you quick. I may not get you in time for brunch, but you'll at least get there for dessert. Just a little longer, I just want to pray for you. And by pray for you, what I really want to do, I want to pray for your faith. This is what Jesus told Peter. He said, Pete, I prayed for you. That's what he told me. He said, Pete, I want you to know, this morning when I got up, way before dawn, I got up. And when I started walking down by the shores of Jordan, I prayed for you. I didn't pray that you'd be a good pastor. I didn't pray that. I didn't pray that you'd be a good shepherd over the flock of God over which I'm a shepherd. I didn't pray for that. Nor did I pray for your mother-in-law like I did the other. I heard you. No, I could have, but I didn't pray for that. You know what the Bible said? Jesus told Pete, said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. He said, if you have the faith to believe God, anything you can imagine, he said, I'll do it for you. That's why I prayed for your faith. Jesus tells, he's praying for your faith. Not your blessing. Not your breakthrough. Not your deliverance. You can have all of that if you just have faith. I'm finished. If you want me to pray for your faith, come now. I'm out of time. Come now. No oil. The oil's for next Sunday. You want me to pray for your faith? If you want me to pray for your finances, not this Sunday. If you're sick and you want healing in your body, not this Sunday. Come next Sunday, the Sunday. But if you want me to pray for your faith, gather around, get around this altar. I want you to pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed for Peter, his man of God. Pastor, pray that my faith not run out. Pray that my faith doesn't fail in my 50s. Pastor, pray that my faith, even in my 60s, my 70s, my faith is still strong. Why? Because the race is not to the swift, nor to the strong, but to him that endures. He told Peter, I'm going to pray that your faith fail you. I said, Peter, I'm leaving. My job, my assignment here is done. I have another job. I've got to go and serve as intercessor. I'm leaving, but you're not. If I could give you anything, if I could impart some wisdom, he said, This is what it is. I prayed to my father that your faith fail you not. And that's my prayer this morning for you. That your faith not run out. Watch this. When you need it most. When you need it most. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help me. Lord, I pray that those that you have sent here today, that their faith fail not. Holy Spirit, don't let it run dry. Don't let it give out when they need it most. Don't let it fail when they're on the verge of a miracle. Father, I pray for their faith. Stir it up now, Holy Spirit. Stir now. Stir now by your Spirit. Move, Holy Ghost, by your power. God, in the secret place. In the secret place. That's where we need you to move, God. In the secret place. The secret place of the Most High. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, down in the cellar of my soul. Yeah. That's where faith works. Yeah, that's where faith works. Not in my mind. No. Not in my hands. But in the cellar, the secret place. Lord Most High. Yeah, Yeah, that's what I need, God. Yeah, this is a God, job for God. I need you in my secret place. And cause my faith not to fail. Cause me to lay hold to the promises of God. Not only in my life, but in the life of my sons, the lives of my daughters, granddaughters, grandsons. Lord, let me live long enough, good God, that I might see the promises of God come to pass. Glory to God. I want to live long enough to see God make good on His word. Lord, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for this Shunammite woman who demonstrated exceptional faith. And as a result, she received your very best. What was once dead has now been brought back to life. And you've proven once again you are the resurrection, the truth, the life. If any man believe in you, though they be dead, yet shall they live again. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. And we adore you. We give you the highest praise. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, go back to your seats rejoicing. Go back like the Shunammite woman. Bow down at his feet. Go back and give the Lord praise. Joy, jump on those drums for me. Come on, I know I got to get you out of here. But
is to be a mom, and how this is like my one day I like to think of, you know, off. You know, I don't want to go out. I don't want to cook. I just want to go to church with my family. It is a special, special blessing to me to have them all here. Jordan, who I'm going to call up for announcements in a second, even though I know he's on the drums. Jordan, who's coming from New York, and then my other two, especially with all their activities and traveling. It's just good to have them all here and participating in the service. Amen. As I call up Jordan for announcements, there are two announcements in particular that he does not have. The first is one that was sent to me, and I knew it was coming, but I'm just also happy. It's it's almost like she just started school. Can I say we have a doctor in the house? Hallelujah! Yes! Now, I will say that our youth and young adults are all so accomplished. To be such a relatively small congregation, we have been doing some big things over the years. It's nothing new. We have lawyers, we have educators, we have social workers, we have those who've gotten their masters and doctorates, we have nurses. But I am so happy that we have another doctor who's homegrown, and that's Dr. Deanna White. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Amen. Deanna already knows where she will be serving her first residency, and that will be at none other than the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, CHOP, which was her first choice. I don't know about you, but I know that the very best get their first choice, especially when they are blessed from day one. So her mother, Deaconess Helena Weitsch, is actually inviting everyone who is part of the Taylor family to celebrate with her and her family, to celebrate her daughter's accomplishment next Sunday, directly after service. She's going to have a special gathering upstairs, and everyone is welcome. So be ready to celebrate Dr. Deanna White. Amen. Let's give her another hand clap. Amen. One additional announcement that is not fully on Jordan's form is just an explanation or an elaboration, rather, of the fact that May is the month where we celebrate and we support Turning the Tide. You know that Turning the Tide is an outreach ministry. It is a standalone nonprofit that was started over 20 years ago, almost 25 years ago. And we provide and have done for the last 25 years much needed resources, technology resources, educational resources to those all throughout Philadelphia, but particularly in the Cobbs Creek area. One of our biggest services and programs are around education, particularly adult continuing education, adult literacy, family literacy. And we have currently a few dozen students in our adult literacy program, all of them at various stages of getting their GED, which is huge in their life, because when they can get the education they need, they can get better jobs, which allows them to better provide for their families. So I wanted to let you know that is one of our biggest programs right now. We still have our digital literacy program. We still, as you know, we have our urban garden where we provide fresh fruits and vegetables at no cost throughout the harvest season to our seniors in the area, to our residents in the area. But this is another program that you don't see. It's Monday through Friday. We have virtual classes as well as in-person classes here during the week. Morning, afternoon, and evening classes to accommodate the schedules of those who are trying to do something better for themselves, but they just need help. And where do they need help from us? So I wanted to let you know that that is where, when we ask you, what you've done over the years to support Turning the Tide. This is what we don't charge those who come to us, because oftentimes they can't afford those extra, but we are still here able to help through your direct support as well as other grants and programs grants and resources that we are afforded. We're able to provide those services. On that note, we do have slots available for students. If you know anybody, neighbors, friends who are looking to finish up their GED, it is not an easy task, and trust me, as someone who has many degrees, I understand why someone would need the help, you know, need one-on-one help, need group help to help them get them through all the parts of the GED. We have slots available. We also are in need of anyone who's willing to be a tutor or a mentor to our students. Our students range from late teen who just didn't finish school all the way to 50s, everything in between. So if you are interested in being either a mentor or a tutor in any of the subjects that are included in the GED, we ask you to reach out to me. There's more than one tutor who's here in our congregation, but if you're available to provide 1-2 hours a week, it's virtual as well as in person. Virtual is oftentimes how I end up getting my tutors, and I am in need of more right now because of the demand. So please see me if you are interested in doing that. And thank you for your support. Thank you so much for your support. Jordan?
Thanks. All right. So my mom already did a great job of telling you all that I don't know what's going on. So I'm going to be reading straight off the script. First, I just want to give honor to all the mothers. Obviously, happy Mother's Day. Everyone is looking outstanding. You know, they got the pearls on. You know, mothers wearing blue. It's obviously nice outside. All the mothers have their toes out, which is crazy. But we give honor to God for you all. Want to give a shout out to the pastor. I thought that was a great word personally. That was excellent. That was excellent. It is well. It was so funny when the sermon, the Shulamite woman said it was well. The man of God asked if it was well, but God showed them that it was well. I thought that was a good word. So here we go. We're just starting off with the announcements. The pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. May is turning the tide month, but the First Lady already talked about that, so I'll move right down. May 18th, bring your oil to church. It's a bad time for that. But Pastor is inviting all mothers to bring a small bottle of anointing oil, preferably virgin olive oil, to church, as he will pray over them at the conclusion of morning service. Next up, on May 25th, wear your favorite baseball team jersey to church. You guys like baseball in the church? Okay. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. This is for our in-person corporate prayer, and that'll be followed by worship at 10 a.m. As a reminder, Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. on Google Meets. Sunday school as usual from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets, and we look forward to seeing your child the 2nd through 5th Sundays. Last thing here before I call back up the pastor for benediction, Pastor Ford's YLE challenge. There will be a sign-up sheet in the entryway to volunteer for the garden. We will need help starting in June. Our own Lynn Rossiter will send out an email during the week to let people know the task. And we just ask that you please reply back or show up the following Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So without further ado, I want to call up the pastor for the benediction. If you guys can all stand.
sir. Again, thank you, Taylor, for your attention as well as your attendance. With every head bowed and heart lifted to heaven, I am going to close with a Mother's Day prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for all mothers who bring forth new life and provide for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of those entrusted to their care. Give them the courage to raise godly children through happy and difficult times. Give them wisdom to guide their children on the path to eternal life. Fortify them through your word and sacraments to endure the challenges and trials of motherhood. Instill in them joy and delight as they accompany their children down through the years. And Father, we also pray for those who long to be mothers. We lift up these sisters to you, O Lord, during this season, because while many are celebrating motherhood, we know that some are aching and feeling abandoned. Lord, heal their pain, comfort their hearts, and we pray that you would somehow satisfy that desire that these women have to be mothers, even as you did for the Shunammite woman. These and all other blessings we pray and ask in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ. Amen. God bless you, Taylor. Happy Mother's Day to you. Oh, Kim has something for the mothers. Wait.